This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Mangiapane turned around, and now it's McMichael breaking behind, shooting, he scores! Connor McMichael breaks through the Carolina D, in from the blue line, keeps it low, it's 1-0, Washington!
A goal's a good time to stand up. Hopefully we can all agree there, right? We could stand up and celebrate that one.
That one seems good.
You imagine that guy going, lean back, as you lean forward to stand up. After a Connor McMichael goal. Caps playoff coverage on Grant and Danny brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. For 25 years, Ace Trim has been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV. They specialize in full-service interior trim carpentry and handle everything from installation all the way through getting you the supplies you need turnkey, hassle-free. Contact acetrim.com today. Ace Trim, the home builder's trade partner. The show is sponsored by the law firm Condori and Murad. Go check them out, kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. Get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. I like to go out to Capital One Arena. I sit in the crowd just about every single time I go. That's the one sport, Danny. It's been a few years since Press Box Paulson's been in the press box there. I don't think I've sat in the press box for a Caps game in like post-COVID.
I'm trying to remember when I did the press box bit last. It's been a minute. I mean, because I always feel like such a jerk, like sort of waltzing in there like, I'm a tourist. I'm like the guy that comes by once a year with my credential. I always feel like a horse's ass. So when I go, I usually sit with the good folks.
It's my more fan team. It's the team I'll put on a jersey and go fan out for. So I want to be in the crowd and get seats and go enjoy it and scream and do that kind of thing. So I get it. I mean, I've had some of these interactions and I see it. For the most part, people, for whatever reason, seem to kind of get it. Like it's okay to stand and cheer and clap and at certain times get into it. I'm not one of these people, by the way, that's saying, like, you should just deal with whatever happens around you either. It's time and place. There's kind of the unwritten rules of fandom of, like, when you get ramped up and amped up and excited and when you stand up. And if someone is just, like, the game started and they're doing the I'm standing till someone gets a shot on net thing, like it's basketball, that's stupid. We don't do that. You can have a seat. If someone just decides that they're not going to sit down for a whole power play, yes, let's yell at that person and tell them they're being an idiot. That's not what happened. Toby's experience was different, and he's even being told to lean back. Like, someone's going to come back and make sure your shoulder blades are on the back of your seat. Like, making sure, like, at a dance, proms tonight, at a bunch of high schools, right? They're going to, like, separate you, some room for the Holy Spirit. What do they say at your dance at St. Albans?
Oh, what was it? Yeah, you need to leave room for the Holy Spirit, but I forget what the actual, like, ratio was. Like you
probably
can only
6 inches.
You know, no, well, more than that. The Holy Spirit's big, but you need to have a slight bend in the elbow was allowed, but it's got to be closer to straight than it was like making an L. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But I wonder
space for the Holy Ghost.
If someone's making sure they can't slide their hand between Toby's back and the back of the seat, and this idea now that apparently, I mean, we've gotten you've heard a couple people come on. We'll get to more calls here. 800-636-1067. I'm getting a lot of tweets, people that called in. Oh, you definitely can't lean forward up there. You just can't do it. Is that the culture at the Caps games in the 400s? I had no idea.
So I'm getting a message from a good friend of mine who I've known forever. I didn't realize this, but they've got tickets in that section if it had them for 15 years. And they're telling me that's the deal up there. It's so hard to see. It's such a pain in the butt that when you go to these, you know, 40 games a year, whatever it is, for people that have had season tickets, it's just understood up there that you can't lean forward. Otherwise, it's a pain for everybody else.
So that's fine. Like we could, I'll have a meeting with these people, and here's what we'll agree to. I'll acknowledge that the antiquated arena, which I was told didn't need to be upgraded by people several months ago, for the record, is built in a way that if you lean forward a couple of inches, people behind you can't see. And that's not cool for those people. But then they have to acknowledge that it is ridiculous that at a sporting event, you're not allowed to lean forward. And if we can both get what we want out of that, then let's shake hands and move along. I need them to acknowledge this is ridiculous that you're going to tell someone to lean back at a sporting event constantly. And then if they need me to acknowledge that they have a ticket and it ruins their time, and so I'm going to do this to make them happy, I can do that. But everyone needs to understand, we need to start from this is unacceptable and ridiculous and fosters and facilitates a culture where comfort is more important than rowdiness, which is not how a sporting event atmosphere for hockey in the 400 level in the playoffs should start, in my opinion. We could also just get recliners and only have like a few hundred seats up
just
there.
Just do movie seating.
And then everyone could see it perfectly, if that's the priority. That's not really the priority, though. Let's go to Chris, who's in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys? Grant, you cracked me up when you said you called yourself a fat. That's a new one for me that I'm gonna use that.
Art is free. We love it.
Thank you, buddy.
So I'm kind of with you, Grant, but I'm also kind of with Danny in that, you know, this is where I think some of it comes from, right? If this was back in the day where we're buying tickets to see the Caps at the Cap Center from the local Hex and they were $15 a pop, you know, anything goes at that rate. But because the ticket prices are so expensive and the way they are, I think there's a little bit of entitlement when people say, hey, I spend my hard-earned money to go to this game. I want to be able to see the action. So there's that, right? The other thing I want you to keep in mind is there might be people who can't stand for any number of reasons. They might be disabled, or maybe they're a kid and they just can't see over you or whatever. So I just want you to try to – now, what I will say –
well, hold on. Before you – I think I acknowledged that when I talked about my interaction with the annoying guy behind me at the Nats World Series game that got upset every time I had stood up. You know, I by the way, I spent a ton of money on those seats just like he did. And the one World Series experience that I'll probably ever have and that I'll certainly ever have with my parents at a World Series game was ruined – by every time I stood up, some guy yelling at me to sit down and making me feel uncomfortable, not knowing what he was about to throw on me. But having said that, I did turn around and made sure, is this just a guy who's annoying and doesn't know how fans act? Or is this someone who actually is in a bad spot where he can't stand? And by the way, I wouldn't have a problem trading with the kid who's behind me who can't see. Or if he can't, it'll absolutely, I'm a decent person. Like the whataboutism thing of the random little occurrence that might be is not the best argument for me. Because I think most reasonable people, if they found out that the person behind them is unable to do the thing, if it's an old person who doesn't have to, you know, standing for the anthem is hard. We've all seen people like that. Then I'll bet you they're going to act like a decent person. Because most people at their core are decent people.
Well, you might be, but I tell you, if you've ever been to a game at FedEx Field, most people are intoxicated and don't care. So in any event, I would just say, look, there might be reason, but I am with you in that there is always a time and place and there is a certain expectation, which I, as someone who has a disability, I don't go to a lot of sporting events because of that very reason. I know that I'm going to be uncomfortable and it's just not worth it to me. It sucks because I wish I could be there. So, but I agree, like there's a certain time and place, 2 minutes left in the game, fourth quarter, whatever it is, two, two outs, bottom of the ninth, where you expect fans to be standing and perhaps obscuring your view, and you should deal with it. But I'm not in favor of Johnny, I paid for my ticket, and I'm going to do whatever I want, no matter how much it inconveniences everyone else.
No, to be clear, I'm not either, Chris, because where does that end, right? You got the dude that's vaping in the middle of the crowd,
yeah.
the guy that's smoking a cigarette, and whatever other rules that he's going to bend along the way, because it's just his world and we're all living in it. I started with, I'm not unreasonable here, Toby leaned forward. Now, again, apparently at Capital One Arena, that's the same as punching a guy in the face. I had no idea. That leaning a few inches forward is this game-changing, terrible thing. I can't believe that. I mean, that's...
It sounds pretty unbelievable when you say it.
Yeah. Unfathomable to me. Like, we should all acknowledge that's super embarrassing to say. Like, if another fan base heard, hey, if you go to a Caps game and you sit in the 400s, if you lean forward, you get yelled at. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And that's, like, really embarrassing to me. But if that's a thing, I've just got to find a way to deal with that, and I'll still wake up tomorrow. It'll be cool. But... I guess I have to recalibrate my what is acceptable and what isn't to lean forward can be included. But the guy that stood up did it in the final 2 minutes of a game as the Caps with an empty net are trying to salt a game away. That's in the column of time to deal with.
Yeah, and not only is no one else in that section standing up, but somebody marches down and like tries to forcefully sit the guy. That's the one
to
me.
Put their hands on him.
Right, that's the one to me where I'm going, can we set off fireworks and alarm bells until that gets fixed?
Why is... No one else in the section standing up, oh, by the way. And with a minute and a half to go. I mean, that is insane,
it's insane to me. Yeah,
nobody's.
Insane to me.
I was standing in my basement, as you said, Danny.
Yeah.
Everyone else is. I think it's because of the culture that's been created by all these lean forward people that are texting Danny saying, I've sat there for 22 years, and if you lean forward, I'll slap you in the face. Well, God forbid I stand up. What's he going to do?
Well, and it just... Look, I had a great experience last night. It didn't take away from it all that much, but it wasn't as good when Tom Wilson scores the empty net and people are still standing. Am I allowed to still stand for the rest of the game, or do I need to be seated? I sat back down. The people in front of me are still standing because I'm worried about the guy behind me. So you worried about me sitting forward slightly. I'm ruining your experience. You're ruining my experience, too, so shut up.
Yeah, that goes both ways, totally. Like, the idea is, well, you're affecting him. Yeah, he's affecting me, too. Let's go to Keith and Tyson's. What's up?
Hey, so main thing I'll just say is hockey's a little different, but especially at football, and I went to an SEC school for college, but they do it I guess now it's Northwest too. I think you're underestimating just how much people will stand for literally the whole game, and it's more like I'm the nuts one for thinking it's more comfortable to sit down when it's the first quarter and we're on the 20. And so that is one where, you know, I've been to a game when, I know you say reasonable people, and these were Eagles fans, so I don't know if we can call them reasonable.
I don't know if they qualify.
They don't qualify.
Yeah, but there was like an elderly man next to us, and, you know, he had gotten some good tickets as a Christmas gift, and he basically didn't see the game. And, you know, he said, I see more football in my house. And so that's one where I think we should acknowledge that the sort of the other extreme of that, where there's this expectation in some places that you literally never sit down because you have to be rowdy. And my thought is, like, I could be just as loud if I'm sitting, and I'm going to enjoy the game a lot more. I think most people enjoy the game a lot more if they sit most of the time.
I would say a lot of people do. I mean, it's about the norms, right? I don't know what the norms are in the SEC stadiums or whatever. If the norm is to stand, I don't have a problem with that at all. I think if someone elderly behind you can't stand, that's just a decency thing to sit down. But, you know, if they're drunk Eagles fans, I don't know if they're prioritizing the guy behind them very often. I wouldn't expect that from them. It'd be a miracle if they were kind to him. But I just think, what is the norm? What is the culture that's
essential?
Created?
Yeah. I mean, to me, the anytime you are the outlier and then you're defiant when someone goes, hey, there's 200 people here. And then there's one doing the other thing. Could you be like the other 200 of us? And if you're like, no, I paid for my ticket. Okay, you're now the aggressor. You're out of norm. You're out of bounds.
It's a
you're
great
the different
point.
One, right?
The
and that's
outlier
my general
is
view.
Most of the time going to be the jackass, right? And that's why I asked Toby, like, why was only one guy standing up? Are you sure it was the last 90 seconds? Now, in that case, I think one guy was right, and 963 people were wrong.
Yeah, so
even though he was the jackass, because I think a lot of other people, I bet you Toby wanted to stand up and Max wanted to stand
up. But you know you're going to get squawked at.
But they already knew that the worst guy in the arena, six seats behind them, was going to make it a huge problem. So basically out of fear of having to get into an altercation, they didn't stand up.
Yeah, that's one of those where I think everyone's both right and wrong.
Were people in the lower bowl standing? Normally always stand in that situation.
Yeah, I'd say 80% of the lower bowl was standing for the final 2 minutes.
But see, this is what I'm saying. You create this culture of comfort. When we're sending out notes, when we pass along our tickets, make sure your shoulder blades are on the back of your seat and you're not leaning forward. I'm telling you, you can make fun of him if you want to. You're creating this like idea of what is not acceptable. And that's a slippery slope to... Now there's 9 seconds left in a penalty kill with 51 seconds to go, and everyone's afraid to stand up and scream. And is that really where you want to be? Some of you, it sounds like you want to be there, and that's fine. That's not where I want to be. I'll be in my basement before I'm being told to sit down with my shoulder blades on my seat. Let's go to Benjamin in Fairfax. What's up, Benjamin?
Hey, guys. So, Grant, have you never sat in the 400s at Capital One Arena?
I have not in a couple of seasons.
Okay, so the hard part of threading this needle is Capital One Arena. I've been all over, Upper Bowl, Lower Bowl, different cities. 400 seats there are a different animal. Like, if somebody does lean forward, you cannot see almost a three-quarters of the offensive zone, potentially.
Unless you lean forward. Right?
Well, I didn't hear you cut it out.
Sorry. Unless you lean forward as well.
Maybe. But here's the thing. With the 400s, leaning forward, like, if you want to stand all game for a playoff game, I've stood for 5 periods of a double overtime game 7, and that was the beginning in playoffs. Let's dispense of that. But leaning forward in the 400s only, if you're going to sit down, help the person behind you.
Did you hear what he said there?
Yeah, help the person. So I guess.
What do you mean, help the person behind you?
Because, like, I want to get.
Oh, you're saying
you guys,
don't
right?
lean forward for the betterment of the people behind you.
For everybody, for your fellow fan. Because at the 400s, I'm only talking 400s at Cap 1. I won tickets through you guys for a Caps game. Took my 6-year-old to her first game. She loved it. However, there's a birthday guy. Belligerent and drunk first period, standing up, turn around, shouting, making it about him, not the game. It's the other side of that coin. My 6-year-old's complaining she can't see. You know, who's in the wrong there? Is it the guy who's
the guy that sucks, probably?
Yeah, drunken buffoon guy.
Yeah, the guy that's acting like an idiot. Yeah, he's the wrong one.
Right, and I actually got one last question for you, Grant.
Yeah.
What do you feel about signs at sports games? If someone in front of you is obstructing your view with a sign that is otherwise allowed.
Yeah, so my general stance in life, okay, I should say in sports, because I agree with everything you guys think and disagree with everything that you disagree
right,
with.
Right, you know the thing that's bad? We hate that too.
I hate the thing you guys
can't
hate.
Can't stand it.
When it comes to sports, I am not of the opinion that people should not be allowed to do things because other people won't like it. I think people should be allowed to do the thing that they want to do so long as it doesn't negatively affect the people around them. But because it might turn into a bad situation, it's not a good reason for you not to be able to do something. So in this case, to answer your question, sports signs at a stadium, you should be able to bring them in and have them and pregame, put your little sign up on the glass.
Yeah, during a commercial break, you hold it up? Absolutely.
The moment that you're holding up a sign during action and it's taking away vision from people, unacceptable.
Correct.
And it should be taken from the person and torn in half and they shouldn't get it back. But you don't start with the premise of, this person might not follow the unwritten rules, and so they don't get to have the sign.
Agreed.
That's where I'm at on it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Again, it's once something gets abused. So in other words, the puck's been dropped, and you're hoping that somebody else sees your big, you know, arms width sign, and now you're blocking vision for 15, 20, 30 people. No, you can't do that.
So it sounds to me like, okay, as we get more and more people chiming in from the 400s level, who are season ticket holders, that there is a major design flaw.
Yes.
By the way, I've watched more games in the 400s for the Capitals over the years than I've watched in the lower bowl in my lifetime, over 20-plus years in that arena. I've watched playoff games. Now, a lot of times I get the highest row possible, And I literally stand with my back against the wall the whole time. And the reason I do that is not to be some tough guy getting to stand. It's because I literally, the reason I don't sit in the 400s anymore.
I can't physically do it.
As a fact, it's the worst experience in the world. And it's what I was trying to say. I don't know where all these people were months ago when we talked about how this is the best arena in America for 3 weeks because nobody wanted to leave D.C. to go to Virginia, and they didn't need a new arena. And now all of a sudden, you if someone leans forward for 2 inches, you lose 3/4 of the ice. So those two things both can't be true, but I digress. It sounds like it is a disaster up there in terms of sight lines. And if that is true, that someone leaning forward ruins the whole game, then I am willing to do two things. First, acknowledge that this is the worst, unacceptable, stupid fan thing that's ever happened, that you can't lean forward. And second, say, I will take in your information and say people shouldn't lean forward if everyone can't watch the game. But I need you to acknowledge that it's stupid that they can't lean forward. And then as soon as you say, yeah, it's super stupid, that should never happen in a million years, fans should absolutely be able to lean forward and sit on the edge of their seat after they paid $172 to watch a playoff game. As soon as you say that, then I go, okay, let's all not lean forward. Let's all have a terrible time. Let's high five it.
Yeah, instinctively, here comes the turnover in the center of the ice, and there's an odd man rush going.
Don't lean forward.
You move towards the front of your seat. It's like, lean back. That just seems like a lot.
Let's go to Rob in Ashburn. What's up, Rob?
Robbie.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. It's great to be listening in to this conversation.
Thanks, buddy.
I was actually at game one up in section 400 and has experienced or at least witnessed this firsthand. We were in row B, so it wasn't that big of a deal for us being able to see the ice or having people leaning forward. But there was an interaction between – so I can understand, first off, how those seats can actually – you can get a blocked view very quickly just from another fan. But in terms of, like, situations like where – hey, something's about ready to happen. People kind of are like, oh my gosh, here it comes, and they're leaning on the edge of their seats. That stuff was cool. Where the issues were is we actually had some Carolina fans who were doing that the whole entire game. And there were some season ticket holders. I'm not a season ticket holder. We actually bought them as a resale. But we did have some season ticket holders that were starting to have a pretty, what would be a common word for it, an energetic interaction with these Hurricane fans.
Colorful exchanges were had?
Yes. Mm. That'd be a great way of describing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to a point that the Carolina fans were like, really? We're here to watch our team play this game, and you're getting on us about leaning forward in our seat because we want to see the game.
So, Rob, I'm going to be on the Caps fan sides over the Canes fan, but I got to say, the Cliff Notes of this were posted on any Reddit board in America, they would go, why are Caps fans upset that someone's leaning forward during a game? Because it does sound stupid. You acknowledge that, right?
I
can acknowledge if there's a stadium flaw, then we need to get Ted Leontis on the horn, see if he knows about this, and say, let's fix it. But the idea that you shouldn't be able to lean forward is unacceptable. Can we start with that?
Yeah, I can agree with you on that in terms of, like, it is silly. But I've sat at different tiers back there. Of course, sitting in either row A or B, really, there's almost zero possibility of someone being in your way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's the higher up, right?
Right.
You go. And I for a playoff series a few years ago, sat in the 400s for almost every game, and I was literally in the, like, back to the wall, sitting in a chair where it's, like, above the seats, if that makes sense.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And you could basically just stand. There's not a bad seat in terms of watching the ice from the whole building, in my opinion. Basketball, I think, is different because it's smaller, you know, smaller in terms of the court and the players. It does not look the same as on the ice where it's a bigger surface. But if you want to tell me that leaning forward is this life-altering, terrible experience, okay, then let's fix it immediately. Like, by the beginning of next season, let's figure this out together.
Let's get that reno going.
Let's hopefully that's part of the renovation. Because if it's not, we need to add a couple hundred mil more. Let's get the mayor back on the horn. Because I'm sorry. I mean, that's unacceptable. You cannot have a stadium where people can't lean forward. And that the solution is just that you don't anymore. Sorry. Virginia back on the horn, Luis Lucas. You don't get to come to the meeting. I mean, you just can't. We can't do that.
You're going to post a meme with someone leaning forward.
If Toby can't lean forward, we can't keep calling it home. So We got to figure something else out. Hope they get the Commanders. But if you can't lean forward there either, then it needs to be in Landover. It's just a very bare minimum.
Mm.
I got to be able to do this. I just did it while I'm watching the game. Or else you don't get to have the stadium in D.C. It's very simple. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan, getting you ready for a huge night. In sports, the Nats have a 6:45 first pitch against the St. Louis Cardinals, kicking off a three-game set over Mother's Day weekend. Of course, the Capitals are idle tonight. They'll play in Raleigh against the Carolina Hurricanes. That place is electric, going to be buzzing on both Saturday and Monday night. By the way, Monday, we've got a live show for a Game 4 watch party. We're going to be live all show long, 2 to 6:30 in Bethesda at Caddy's on Cordell. And then we're hanging out after the show to watch the game.
From Bethesda!
Boom goes the dynamite. The house that Riggleman built, we will build an addition. We got to see Ovi's a record-setting goal from that spot, which was a blast with dozens of listeners on a Sunday afternoon. Wait, it was a Saturday. I can't remember which. Point is, it was amazing. It was such a fun time. Can't wait to go back there on Monday. Hopefully, talking about the Caps taking one of those series leads type situations. Wouldn't that be fun?
Speaking of series, Danny. Two continue tonight in the NBA playoffs. The Pacers are stunningly up 2-0 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Series now shifting to Indianapolis for games 3 and 4. They were heavy underdogs. Tyrese Halliburton happened, man. He has hit two game winners. He's been incredible without his pops in attendance on the road. I guess no dad, no problem for him. 2-0. Does his pops get to come to the games in Indiana? I guess he doesn't, right?
I thought there was something. Maybe speaking out of school, but I thought everyone agreed, let's stay away for a while. I think the Pacers did too.
Well, I remember that about the home games, but I'm saying he was not in Cleveland on the road.
No, he definitely
either.
Was not. No,
it
no,
wasn't
no.
just that arena.
Right.
Like, just don't be around and in faces of superstars
just,
for a few.
Just try not to get on the court and talk trash to a former MVP.
Gotcha.
It's like, hard to do, I know. That's tough. That's a tough ask.
I'm a dad. Yeah. I love a supportive pops. Sure. That's great. We're just going to put you in timeout for a little bit. We're going to remember that you can't get into the face of the superstar of the opposing team.
Kind of lost your privilege there because you did that.
At midcourt right after a game, like you're a high school senior going to a college game, storming the field. And then we'll try again next season. But Indiana's up 2-0 on Cleveland.
I'm stunned.
At home, you know that building's going to be on fire. 7:30 tip tonight, chance to go up 3-0. I think Cleveland's got to get this one, yeah? I mean, there's
no way. Of course
you
do, yeah, for sure.
I don't mean that they need it. I mean, I think they will. Like, there's no way they lose three straight to the Pacers.
You wouldn't think, but now here we are. We're going to be in Indiana. And the matchup is actually tougher for them than I kind of thought. This is sort of that, you look at some of the ingredients. The idea of Miles Turner is fine, it is what it is, or it's exciting. This is the actual where the rubber meets the road, where he is a factor at both ends, right? Knocking down threes, blocking shots, good defensively. Their guards are able to pester and disrupt what Cleveland's doing. They're athletic, they're long, guys like Siakam and Mathurin. All of a sudden, you look at this Indiana team and you go, actually, yeah, I kind of get it. Cleveland's better. They should be winning the series. They're not. As you said, Halliburton happened. But now that they've gone up two, it's like one of those, you know what? I should have seen them being more frisky than maybe I first anticipated. And here they are, Cleveland, do or die.
Game three tonight, Denver, the site of the continuing Thunder-Nuggets series. They split two in Oklahoma City. So it's 1-1, 10 East time tip tonight. Let's put a bow on our convo on what are the do's and don'ts when you're at a playoff hockey game in terms of leaning forward? You know, that old terrible thing. Let's go to Jane in Virginia. Hey, Jane.
So I'm not using my real name because I don't want to risk any attacks on social media. But you may recall I'm the one that almost got thrown out of the Nats and LCS game. I think, you know, there's a couple of points that I wanted to make, and I think one of the important points is this is a playoff game. I think the rules are a little bit different. But I will say D.C. might not be the only town, but it's definitely one of the towns that has a completely different perspective on fan behavior in terms of, you know, sit back and be quiet and only cheer when you're told to. Because I've been to, again, coming from the baseball perspective, MLB parks, and in multiple parks where somebody goes to an usher to complain about somebody standing up, that usher will not tell the person to sit down, but will offer to reseat them. And that's the way I think it should be, because, you know, if you are only cheering when you're told to, you can't convince me that you're a real fan.
Ooh. I think there's a lot of that.
How about that?
The fair weather fandom element of people that are kind of not necessarily from D.C., it's adopted, etc. That is the culture, though. Like, if you're at Nats Park and you're standing and someone complains, the usher will go, hey, you got to go sit down. Right? That's the thing. And it depends on the section. It depends on who's doing it. But I have seen that happen 100%. And she's right. Different cities do it differently, right? Where it's different expectation. I'll tell you, in Detroit, in Cleveland, and in various places where it's like grandfathers and fathers and sons and great-grandsons, nobody ever leaves, and it's like this hardcore thing. It's just a different animal. It's just different fandom.
I've learned my lesson than to question caliber of fandom on these airwaves. I did that not too long into our show when I was annoyed by something.
What was the Giants playoff game?
Yes. A lot of people left the playoff game early, and I was bothered by that. But now I am willing to accept that even if you leave a playoff game early, or you get there late, or you don't pay much attention, or you wait an hour in the Shake Shack line and you miss three innings, you might like the team the same amount I do, even though I don't miss a pitch. Everyone's fandom is different, and they show it in different ways. Some people don't watch the game at all for nine innings, and that's their way to show.
That's how you express your fan.
That they're an amazing fan. And so you're all amazing fans. I would never question that. Having said that, our caller's allowed to. Right? Nobody's going to bash her for it. And so that was her opinion. It's not exactly the opinions of the Grant and Danny radio program. But shtick aside, I think that she just hit on something important. We are a town, in my opinion, and I've talked to a lot of people with teams about this over the years, where sports fans in this town cheer when something happens, not for it to happen. It's a very, very big difference. This is not a catch-me-all, by the way. This doesn't mean no one's ever cheered. This doesn't mean crowds never do.
Yeah, we're not talking to you, specific
right.
person.
It's just a general thing where at sports, a lot of times in other towns, it's bedlam and it's crazy. It is bedlam and unbelievable and awesome here right after the Willie empty netter or the Caps get the big goal or whatever it might be. But generally, we are a reaction electric, you know, not a make-it-happen electric. And that was kind of my thought at the World Series with the two balls, two strikes, we're up. Like, here we go, two outs. Let's get out of this jam. Let's get out of this inning. And it's like, no. He didn't get the out yet. When he gets the out and walks off, then we get up. And until that part happens. And so I do think there's actually truth to what she's saying. There's legitimacy to, if the culture is, it's not time to cheer yet. They haven't put the let's clap our hands on the scoreboard. Mm-hmm. When they do that, then we stand up. There's a little bit of that, honestly. And it all feeds out of the same trough. Now, maybe the 400 level thing's just a stadium design issue or, you know, an antiquated thing.
I think it's all related. It's all part of it.
But I think it all is in the same thing, which is to say there's norms, and our norm is just not to hop up and go crazy. That is viewed, I would say, more often here than in other places as a pain in my ass. And I paid a lot of tickets, and you're in my way. Whereas in other places, it's a cue that you're not doing it, so you need to start doing it. Let's go to John on 395. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call on the way to the Nats game. Let's go, Nats. I'll make my point quick. Grant, basically, I think you're right. I do think it's interesting to talk about the reaction versus anticipatory thing.
Yeah.
Made me think of the 2019 wild card game.
Oh, boy.
You know, this place exploded. You know,
After that Soto hit, I will stack up Nats Park against any ballpark in America for the last 25 years.
Absolutely.
At any
beer
moment,
in the air.
At any moment. But you're not getting anything. And I'm not saying the beer in the air would happen. But like, you're not getting anything close to that anticipatorily, if that's a word.
Right. No, I'm totally with you. But I do think the design thing. Well, sorry. Hold on real quick. It's been a little bit embarrassing. I mean, I think it's so dorky, this lean forward thing. But I haven't heard one point about
Dorky's
a design flaw, which is the 400 seats at Capital One Arena, whatever your view might be, are too damn small.
Oh, yeah, Grant and I are all over this, dude.
Wait.
Yeah.
So you don't think I'm fat? Well, you probably – it could be both, actually. I could be too fat, but you're saying they are also too small.
No. I hear you, but, like, they for anybody, for a person, they're too small. I don't know how it's not a fire hazard, honestly.
That's hilarious.
I know it's a side fat spill hazard.
Damn,
I mean, I get that.
Where were all these people when we were talking about the arena? I was begging for anyone to acknowledge we need some adjustments. I'm like, I don't know why they'd want to leave. What's Ted thinking? He's got the best arena in sports. Where were these people?
I don't know. They were awfully quiet about this part.
Right, today's beat up Capital One Arena Day. They're putting a $600 million facelift on this sucker. We're with you until 6:30. We should actually preview the Caps and the Canes. There's Rick Hockey going on. We'll do that as they get ready for game
three. Let's lean into that.
In Raleigh. We'll lean back and talk about that. Oh, thank you. We'll get there, and it is Friday, which means a little G&D's Tony's Mailbag coming up at 6 o'clock on The Fan. Our elite players of the game for Caps Game 2, a win over the Carolina Hurricanes at home. Presented by Elite Power and Energy Corporation. Let Elite Power and Energy install a backup generator for you and fill your propane tank so you don't lose power when the storm hits. 24/7 service, complete and powerful solutions. Elite Power and EnergyCorp.com. I went with Logan Thompson. He made 27 saves, 28 shots last night. 2.67 goals better than expected again last evening, Danny. And he had more high danger chances to deal with by a couple than he did in game one. I thought he was dynamite. You went with the best player on the ice for the Caps and in the game, Tom Wilson.
Mr. Tom Wilson, please and thank you. Hitting, diving. I mean, again, he was credited with just two or three block shots. That's ludicrous to me. He thwarted several scoring chances, potted one of his own, empty net style, primary assist on a huge goal. He was fantastic. Both ends of the ice, full 200-foot game, end to end, he was everywhere all at once. I thought he was incredible.
How do you feel going into game three? Because while the Caps got manhandled in terms of pace of play, style of play in game one, game two was much better. You would still say Carolina won more shifts than Washington did. And in terms of like sequence of the game, mm-hmm. first and third period, certainly the third, Carolina dominated. The second, Washington dominated. The first, Carolina won that round on the cards, I'd say. But it wasn't a 10-8 round, in my opinion, to use boxing parlance. Like, that was a 10-9 round. But still, through two games, the Caps have had one phenomenal period. It was the second period last night.
Yep.
And they haven't really carried play all that often. My point coming into the series was this is what it was going to look like. They're going to get out-possessed. They're going to get out-attempted. They're going to get outshot. And they're going to get better quality chances. And so after 10, 12 minutes at a time of looking like they're on their heels, hopefully they have some leads. I just think it's been a little bit more lopsided than even I anticipated. Like, I thought it would look like this, but not as bad, if that makes sense, during the really bad stretches. Game one specifically, I feel good about how they found their game.
Yeah.
I feel terrible about now hitting the road. If they were coming home for two, playing like they did, I would say they'll definitely win one and they could win both. Now I feel like, you know, they could win one, basically. And I fear that they've got to get the first one and not let any momentum shift. But if you told me they either win both or lose both, I obviously think they would lose both on the road. But ideally, you grab one of these and you come back 2-2 and you're destined for seven.
So I don't have a great analogy, but I'm going to do my best. Imagine a hitter that's really struggling at the plate, right? That can't find water if he fell out of a boat, just couldn't hit anything, the broadside of a barn. And he drills a double to right center field, staying on a breaking ball, right? On time, and he's balanced, and he's doing a lot of the right things. And gets to second base, breathes a sigh of relief. And everybody that's riding, you know, on his success is going, whew, thank God he's got that in him. Doesn't mean he's going to barrel up the ball his next at bat, but it just means that it's in there. That's what that second period was for me, for the Caps. Because I saw it a bit more lopsided than you did in period one. I thought Carolina was just doing Carolina stuff, not to the level they were in game one. But
it was
a two
shot on goal difference.
Yeah, I thought they were way better than Washington was. And it wasn't exactly like game one, but it was closer to that than what I wanted. Second period was what I wanted. Now, I know that's not realistic to say we're doing that three periods a night for the rest of the postseason and we'll just have a parade down Constitution Avenue. But the fact that that was in there made me feel a lot better than I was feeling before. After four periods, I'm going, this is Carolina series. Washington is an ancillary character. They're a small-time antagonist before they go on to the final boss. I now don't feel that way. I feel like Washington can absolutely be in this series because even when Carolina's quote-unquote dominating, it's not as if they're putting five goals on the board. They're not doing what Edmonton can do or you know, some of these high-scoring teams. So to me, I'm going, let's just go down there and trade punches and kind of see what happens. And I think they won one out of two, and we're in for a long series.
So do you think that Carolina was more dominant in the first period than Washington was in the second?
No.
So you think they washed each other out?
Yes.
Because the reason I ask is, after 40 minutes, the Caps were up in shots by five, substantially. Mm-hmm. They were up, and when it was 16 to 11, it's not like it's 30 to 25, so that's a pretty sizable shots lead.
Mm-hmm.
They were up in faceoff percentage considerably. They were up in hits, and they led on the scoreboard. I think if it was that crazy in the first period, you know, all of those things wouldn't be true. But, yeah, I mean, I also think we value different things. Like, for you, if the other team has the puck in your end, then that's kind of the end-all be-all. Whereas to me, are they doing anything dangerous? And there were a couple times when they were, but for the most part, as the shots on goal and the scoring chances were very, very close, might have even been in Washington's favor in the first period, actually. Show, like, I just, there weren't that many times where I'm like, edge of my seat, or I was actually sitting
What
back.
Were you doing? Did
no, no,
you
no.
lean?
I did not mean
did
to say
Did you
that.
Lean?
No. No,
You
Danny.
Son of a.
I did hey. Not.
Hey, look at me. Did you lean forward?
Quickly, and then I swear I went right back.
Unbelievable.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Unbelievable.
What I meant to say was,
mm-hmm.
there weren't that many times where I sat there quietly.
With your shoulders touching.
And then looked up to the heavens and said, thank you, God.
There you go.
For our new Pope, and also for that big moment right there. Like, there weren't that many scary moments for me. But, yes, they definitely got outplayed and outskated and out-whatevered the way Carolina does that in the first period. I'm not saying otherwise. But, look, you know, we asked the poll question today. How do you feel after two games compared to how you felt going into the series? I feel the same, but I told you if I had to say better or worse, I'd feel worse because it just – the thing that I worried about with Carolina has been a little bit worse than I anticipated. So I feel worse overall.
Yeah, so I feel better overall. because the thing that I anticipated with Carolina is not as bad as I thought. So, like,
I don't know how that's possible.
I mean, the game one happened, and I'm going, oh, crap, this is what it is. This is the series. I hope we get a fifth game. Now I'm going, yeah, let's have a fight and see what happens.
Yeah. Game one is hard to replicate when two very good hockey teams that are pretty similar in skill play enough games. It's just hard to be that lopsided unless you're playing a bad team or a team you're way better than, which is not how I see it. But I certainly understand the fear. There was plenty of that to go around within the fan base. But game three is coming quick. It's in Raleigh tomorrow. How the Caps handle that atmosphere is going to be very, very significant, and hopefully some Caps fans make the trip. I don't know what the arena is like there, what the rules are, how they built the seats. So feel out the environment. You might have to sit back at all times. If you have to lean forward, make sure you check with your neighbors first.
Lean sideways.
Yeah, make sure that you can. Let's open up the phones for a little Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag next at 800-636-1067. You can tweet us questions. It'll ask us anything, sports, non-sports, whatever's on your mind on the Fan.